I would like to thank all of the devotees who have been speaking. It was very enlivening to see how dependent we are on reading Srila Prabhupada's books. I've dedicated my life to distributing Prabhupada's books, teaching Prabhupada's books, and reading them. And sometimes I feel a little selfish, but it was confirmed by what the devotees said, that I feel like, oh, you know, how can I tell people I'm reading and chanting? When people say, what are you doing? And, you know, I'm reading and chanting mostly. And now I'm brave to say it. That's what has happened. I like to associate with Srila Prabhupada. And by reading his books, I'm right there. I don't care who else is around. In fact, I find that sacred, silent, secret place. No one is there. Early in the morning, I'm chanting and I have Prabhupada's books always with me. My constant companion is Srila Prabhupada's books. Wherever I go outside to chant, I have the book with me. I don't want my mind to stray from anything other than what Srila Prabhupada says. And sometimes he says one sentence. I say to my husband, listen to this. It's like everything he says is spectacular. So, and I haven't done anything wrong, but who am I to say what Srila Prabhupada said? So thank you for confirming my attitude in life, my dear God sisters and God brothers. I'll tell one little story. I've told my stories many times, but this is a sweet one. In Berkeley, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and one child was crying and kept on crying. So some devotee stood up and said, everyone, take all the children out. All the mothers, take the children out. So Prabhupada looks and he said, no, that's okay. They can stay. The children are not responsible. So then he said, also the women are not responsible. Everyone's cheering. And then he said, also Brahmins are not responsible and old men are not responsible. So he said, in this assembly, no one's responsible. So then he said, don't take advantage. So I'm just going to read something that I wrote. This is a very mixed day, and as far as I'm concerned, all the devotees have full right to any activity they want to do on this day. It's very difficult. We're hearing about how... it's mixed. We're lucky, very fortunate, Bhagavan Jeev, the most fortunate souls to have the association of the pure devotee. And also we're learning the what it means to feel separation. And that's very difficult. And Lord Chaitanya prays in that way in the last Shikshastika, or the seventh one. Oh, I have 1 minute. Okay, I better go. I'm good. I'm going to read this. Okay? Piercing through layers of Maya's veil, you cast your sacred glance and bless the fallen of this world by teaching them to dance. To the tune of Krishna's flute resounding within our lives, when we chant his holy name where our devotion lies. To get the mercy of a sadhu standing face to face is the greatest benediction bestowed by Krishna's grace. Through many precious lives, from birth to death, we've wandered, bound by actions we've performed, desires we have pondered. By Krishna's causeless mercy, it was ordained we meet, and due to some great fortune, surrendered at your feet. With the torch of knowledge, you lit up our darkened souls as we stepped into eternity to abandon mundane goals. You then formed an army. Ramachandra did the same. Based upon our trust for you, many of us came. We were your soldiers in the field. Your books were all we had to change the hearts of fallen souls in a world that had gone mad. It was the treasure of your words, dispelling all our doubts, nurturing within our hearts tender bhakti lata sprouts. You planted them. We did not know our love for you would make them grow and keep them safe. You'd never go. Constant and continuous association with a pure devotee is the only way to leave the material world and become lovers of Krishna. We can have this association with Srila Prabhupada by reading his transcendental books. They are a gift to all humanity for all time.
Thank you, Shamapriya Prabhu. Adhikartha Prabhu.
Followed by Hari Puja. Mataji Prabhu.
Please
forgive me if I enforce the time in this assembly. Nobody is responsible. But I was asked to be responsible for tracking the time and making sure that everybody has opportunity to speak. Thank you.
So Srila Prabhupada inspired so many people, and he was much loved by his disciples, as we know. So when he was in Vrindavan in 1977, if you listen to the conversations, you can see how much devotion his disciples had, like Tamal Krishnamurti, met a number of them actually. Brahmananda Prabhu, whose samadhi was just erected or installed the other day, he offered to give his body to Srila Prabhupada. Brahmananda, he would cry when he was with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Don't cry." So Prabhupada inspired so many devotees, so many biographies are written about Prabhupada. There must be 20 or 30 biographies written about Srila Prabhupada. None of them point out any defects. They're all full of admiration and gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. And so Ranjit sort of said what I have wanted to say in one sense, that Srila Prabhupada, he should, by all logic and reason, become more famous than Jesus, because he sacrificed his body. There's a verse there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tapyante Lokatapena, it says that the highest form of worship is if somebody goes through suffering to for the sake of the fallen souls, to help them. So Srila Prabhupada actually did that. We know that Srila Prabhupada left his deathbed practically to come to the West in 1977, in August, just a couple of months before he passed away, actually, because he was very concerned about establishing Varnashram, and he was on his way to Gita Nagari. He was going to go and live at Gita Nagari and teach people how to grow food and live simply. He didn't make it that far. He was in London. I was in London myself. And Srila Prabhupada was really just skin and bones. But he was enjoying the association of the devotees. He said that he came, he wanted to inspire the devotees. So the devotees were so inspired by Srila Prabhupada. I remember he was sitting on the Vyasasan. He had his sunglasses on. He was so thin and gaunt. And the devotees were singing and dancing, and he was looking very satisfied. But he had to go back to Vrindavan because he became sick. He couldn't come to America at that time. And so Srila Prabhupada, he went back to Vrindavan, and listening to these conversations, of course, devotees were so attached to Prabhupada. One time Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about to some Indian gentlemen about how his American disciples had done so much for him. And he said that actually this disciple of mine, Malati, she will even slit her throat for me. So that was actually, it's kind of confidential, but some of the devotees would drink Prabhupada's mucus. Sounds strange. But they were so devoted to Mal Krishna Maharaj and some others that they would do anything for Prabhupada. Prabhupada was a pure devotee. He wasn't an ordinary person. A person of his stature, we could say, you know, he's not greater than Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami or anybody that descended from the spiritual world. from their position as gopis in Krishna Lila, but Srila Prabhupada, huh?
One minute,
wow, that was quick. Are you sure?
Hold on a minute.
Okay, sorry. So Srila Prabhupada is on that level that he actually descended from the spiritual world to teach us. So it's just like one time after he passed away, Bhagavat Prabhu came to England and he said that Prabhupada's urine smelled like roses. So recently there was a nice video of some devotees in Hungary chanting at a train station, and all these refugees were there, thousands of refugees. They had no home, they had no food, nothing. And the devotees were chanting, and all these Syrian people were completely absorbed in the holy name. Young kids riding on the shoulders of their parents, like 2 years old, they were all clapping and dancing. They were loving it. So Srila Prabhupada's mission is spreading all over the world. There's no doubt about it. We may not be making lots of devotees in America, but when I go on books regularly, I find people are very favorable and very open to what we have to say. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you for the preparation. Hare Krishna Mataji, followed by Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gave an explanation of humility that I like very much, so I'll share it. Humility means that there is nothing in this world that will save you. No education, no fame, no money, no friends, no gun or anything else, except the mercy of Krishna. When you are convinced like this, then you will be humble. So one remembrance that is very special to me, because I was a mother of a young child in LA during the heydays, and there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees, and there was a lot going on, and a mother with a two-year-old didn't get to go to the afternoon talks in Srila Prabhupada's garden. Going to class was a little bit iffy, so it was difficult to be close with Srila Prabhupada in that way of being in his physical presence. So one day I had an idea, because we used to go to greet Srila Prabhupada at the airport, and Prabhupada came to Los Angeles a lot in the early 1970s, because Srila Prabhupada said that Los Angeles was his headquarters. So he did come a lot and often, and going to the airport was a very exciting event. And one time I decided that this would be my opportunity to have a moment of association with the pure devotee. Even though he would be amongst hundreds and hundreds of devotees, I thought up a plan where I could have 1 second of his time. So I took my little daughter on my hip, and I stood at the end of the movable walkway, which was in the LA arrivals area. So all the devotees went to the gate and walked with Srila Prabhupada, but I was already at the exit where he would walk off the ramp. So the kirtan was growing very loud, and the kartels were playing, and the mridangas were booming throughout the airport. Flower petals were flying. The women were trailing behind the men as usual, and the sannyasis were all surrounding Prabhupada. It was a very beautiful sight to see. And I also had my weapon with me, which I will tell you what it was. So Srila Prabhupada, beautified by garlands, the LA gardenias, finally coming down that movable walkway, surrounded by those devotees chanting, Srila Prabhupada was smiling. The kirtan was getting louder as it grew closer to me, and my eyes joyfully drank in the beautiful scene as Srila Prabhupada and the devotees approached. Normally, I would never attempt to look into Srila Prabhupada's eyes. First of all, because it was not humble for a Mataji to do so, and second, because if you did do so, you might not be pleased with what Srila Prabhupada saw inside you. Because when you looked in Prabhupada's eyes, you could tell that he saw everything in your inner life. So as Srila Prabhupada approached, time seemed to turn into a transcendental ecstatic form, and my eyes met his. I offered the long-stem yellow rose, which I knew Srila Prabhupada liked, and Srila Prabhupada accepted it with a slight nod. In that second of silence, I was able to experience a personal exchange of love with Srila Prabhupada. And then the roaring kirtan resumed, and I very much appreciated his kindness forever. Srila Prabhupada, you are like a wish-fulfilling tree, desire tree, fulfilling the deeper needs of our yearning soul. What a wonderful sight, a grand desire tree, so transcendental, standing in the midst of the material dark world. You are decorated with the flower blossoms of sweet devotional service, and at the same time overflowing with so many fruits. How can we even perceive of all these gifts which are these fruits? You taught us to pray to the Vaishnavas and saintly persons to be merciful upon us in training us in practical devotion service. Remaining honest, we will stay in the shelter of your desire tree and by your mercy partake in the sweet fruit of auspicious eternal service and dance and constantly sing in praise of you, Srila Prabhupada, at the top of our lung. Hari Bol.
Madan Mohan Prabhu followed by Rangavati Devidasi Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Brahmanda Bhumite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Guru Krishna Prasade Bhakti Lata Beach Srila Prabhupada Saksat Hari Twaina. That from the spiritual world it came. We can't see each other. We don't know who we are. We don't. Kayami, who are we? So Srila Prabhupada, he came and he gave us this Bhaktalata Beach by the mercy of Krishna and his mercy. And what is that Bhaktalata Beach? Where does it come from? What are we until we get that? These are other questions. We're wondering how long, how much we've suffered. Is there any end? There's no end. It's just until Srila Prabhupada came that we got this opportunity to find out that there's a purpose of life, that the suffering can be over, and who could come? Who had, as the Acharya, some preach but don't act properly, some act properly but don't preach. Srila Prabhupada knew how to adjust. Because the Acharya, for time and circumstance, can give the absolute message and adjust it so the people can take it. Who could do that? Who could do that? Thousands of years? What is the statistic where someone can do that? So Srila Prabhupada, he did that. And we're all here because of that, with cultivating this bija, Bhakti Lata Bija, that we're taking into our heart. And of course we mentioned it many times today that the watering process is hearing Srila Prabhupada's books, hearing and chanting. So we just continue to water that creeper and it grows. Of course you have to pull the weeds and fence it and the rest of understanding. But thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
You still have 2.5 minutes. You still have 2.5 minutes.
Thank you.
Rangavati Devidasi Prabhu, followed by Ramania Prabhu. Ramania, are you in the pujari room?
Jai Hare Krishna, good morning. So it seems like every year there's a certain percentage of the devotees, a larger percent, that lean toward a certain topic. I don't know how that happens. I don't think it's planned. So I thought I would just follow in the footsteps of my esteemed god brothers and sisters about the power of Prabhupada and books. I was listening this week to a number of devotees speaking. One of them was Brahmananda at the 40th anniversary in Vrindavan. Magnificent festival. And he was saying that Prabhupada was so powerful, extremely powerful, so powerful that he didn't know why. Maybe he would scare us if he actually showed his power. So a certain amount of that power we've seen through the continuation of his mission, and all of you that are here and those of you that are not here, who have been here for so many years through everything. He said that one time Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and he said he was arguing with the Rukmini Dwarkadish. And he said, yes, you know, I was telling Rukmini Dwarkadish, well, you brought me here now. You brought me to America. You brought me here. And now you want me to go to Vrindavan? And Rukmini Dwarkadish said, yes, you've come here. We've brought you here. Now we want you to go back. And I will give you a much better temple and bigger place in Vrindavan. And of course, those of us who've been to Vrindavan have seen this constant movement of pilgrims through the temple, day and night, day and night. And the other thing is about the books. Prabhupada would say, if you just understood one word in the books, you could become self-realized. I was thinking, oh, how is that possible? And I thought, well, what if that word was Krishna? What if that word was bhakti? What if that word was Tulsi Devi? What if that word was Radharani? What if that word was transcendental? I thought, wow, there isn't anything that he said that was exaggerated, and that's really true. If you knew any of those words, you'd be self-realized. Another thing I heard very nice this week by Radha Raman, he was saying that, you know, the philosophy is extremely important. Like, you can go to Mayapur and you can look, look at CLVP, and you go, wow, that's so big and so high. And he said, most people would do that, but not so many people will look down and look, oh, what about the foundation? How many, you know, millions of whatever cement and everything that go, the rebars, all the power that goes up to hold up that structure. And that is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The ability to really grasp what Prabhupada has given us and why he is so powerful is that all these history stories, every sort of magnificent, wonderful event or person that you could ever think of as long gone, long, long gone. Well, the difference between them and Srila Prabhupada is that he delivered the freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Who can do that? Tell me, anybody? Have you ever heard of anyone that gave that can actually do that? But our Gurudev, that's what he's done. And for that, we lay at your feet for now and forever. Thank you.
Ramania Prabhu, followed by Mahendrani Devidasi Prabhu.
Om Najjana Timirandasya Yana Yana Salakaya. Chakshurum Militanjana Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha. So it's a little bit difficult to trying to glorify Srila Prabhupada in 5 minutes. So Indian time, I guess. Anyway, so it's a mix of feelings too, because so many pastimes, so many God brothers, senior God brothers. Actually, it's one later, Srila Prabhupada said, I don't have a small and big disciples. Everybody's the same, equal. So everybody should go morning program, evening program, chant 16 rounds, follow the four rules, regulations. And even if we remember Srila Prabhupada in 77, you know, the video, that he's in his bed, and Pradyumna is holding the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada is translating, and they're holding the dictaphone, because Srila Prabhupada has no strength, he was very sick. You know, Prabhupada is transcendental, he's spiritual. It's not like he left us. Prabhupada is always with us. He said it so many times, I'll be in my books all the time. You want my association, read my books, he said. We emphasize the books. And he emphasized that always. He said, there's never been a moment of separation from my Guru Maharaj. I always feel his presence. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. It's not like he died, he passed away, or he left us. He's still here with us. And there's so many things we can say, even from a philosophical point of view, a spiritual point of view. But the main thing that Srila Prabhupada teaches with his example and his books, he emphasized all the time. And one of his lectures in Los Angeles, he says, that's what I emphasize always, books. I'm after books, because my Guru Maharaj told me, print books. So actually, when Srila Prabhupada came to visit our Mexico City temple in 1972, two times, and in 1975, because we were distributing so many books. We were doing Sankirtan book distribution, you know, like Divyanga Prabhu is doing it every day, and some devotees. And I had the opportunity to be there two times this year in Mexico City temple. The devotees still go out. They have traveling Sankirtan party. And they read the books records, how many books they distribute the bodies every day. And for all the Lordships, they did this. After Mangal Arti, they say, for the pleasure they did this, they distribute so many Prabhupada books, small, medium, large. And everybody, you know, that's the mood. And that's the reason Srila Prabhupada visited in 1975, because we were doing so many books every day. We don't even have a day off. We were doing books every single day, from sunrise to sunset. Believe me, you know, because Prabhupada sent the letters that he was building the Mayapur project, Bombay project, and Vrindavan project, three temples. So he wanted more book distribution, you know. We know that. And then when he came to Mexico City, especially in 75, he says, I'm very pleased with this temple because you're doing a lot of books. You're distributing so many books. And one thing I would like you to have 5 lectures every day. Read my books. It will take you 20 years, at least 20 years to read my books, he says. If you can hear his arrival lecture in Mexico City, 75. So he says, I'm very much pleased because the way you greet, when I came to your country at the airport, I didn't have to go through customs or the immigration. So Prabhupada went from the airplane to the limousine and escorted by 2 police motorcycles all the way to Mexico City temple. So he said, I'm very much pleased with this reception. You know, the only part of the world has been greeted like that. The other part in Lucknow in India, by the police, escorted by police motorcycles, one on each side with a big limousine, like a real spiritual ambassador. So Prabhupada liked it. And then he said, I wanted this temple also to be deity worship very high. He said, Sankirtan is very high, but I want deity worship to be also the same, like railroad tracks. You know, railroad tracks, they have to work the same for the train, you know. He said, that's my recommendation. So anyway, that's a few things on Srila Prabhupada that I remember, morning walks, and we formed one group, 24-hour security for Srila Prabhupada. He asked, he requests, he wants security. So I was able to see how, the way he was eating, translating, you know, sleeping, eating and sleeping a little bit, the level of the 6 Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada is an acharya, but not just any acharya, he's a great acharya. So, just one more thing quickly, I want to read what Srila Prabhupada says. Chant Hare Krishna as many times as possible and be liberated. Thank you very much. That's in 1976. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Ramanya Prabhu. Mother Mahendrani followed by Jamaraj Prabhu.
First, I'd like to say thank you to all devotees who have spoken so far today. All the offerings were so touching and so inspiring to me. Thank you. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to your divine grace. Every morning we sing to you, Shakshadaritvena Samasta Shastrir, Uttastata Bhakta Eva Sabhir, Kintu Praboya Kriya Eva Tasya Bande Guru Sri Charanara Vrindam. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he's the most confidential servant of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. You are Shakshadaritvena, a direct ambassador of Lord Hari, carrying his potency. Krishna says, the Acharya is my very self. He also says that he is in the heart of the pure devotee. He is more accessible to us through his pure devotee than he is through his deity form, because he can speak to us through the pure devotee. The words, your words, are directly Krishna's words. We can directly hear Krishna by hearing from you. Krishna likes to work through his pure devotee. It is his way. It gives him the most pleasure when we approach him through you. Shakshadaritvena can also mean that the spiritual master is the sum total of all the demigods. The principal demigods create, maintain, and destroy. You have created all our spiritual good fortune. You are maintaining our spiritual progress in so many wonderful ways. You are destroying our material impressions and attachments. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a long list of all the demigods that one can pray to for various material benefits. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna does not directly deal with the material world. When someone prays to him for material benefits, his appointed agents, the demigods, fulfill those desires. Since all the demigods reside in the body of the pure devotee, there is no need for us to have any fear for our maintenance and protection if we surrender and take shelter of you. You can carry such power because there's no tinge of false pride in you, no tinge of desire to use the power for any reason other than Krishna's pleasure. On this auspicious day, please bless us to understand your glories more and more, to love you more, and to surrender more fully to you. Help us to realize that surrender means surrendering the darkness, the attachment to things that cause pain and distress, and accepting the light and the things that cause or bring great permanent happiness and love. The word guru means one who draws us from the darkness to the light. Please bless us that our faith in your light and love-filled words may increase, and our resistance to your pulling us towards the delightful spiritual world may decrease. Please bless us to let go of all our attachments to material existence and turn fully to you. Thank you for your mercy.
Thank you, Mother Mahendrani. Jamaraj Prabhu, is he around?